Welcome to Quest for Gold. We're now less than 200 days to the opening ceremonies in Paris. And welcome to our first episode of 2024. I hope you had a great holidays. There's a lot going on in the Olympic world. We've got a lot to catch up on, so let's give you a rundown. We start with basketball. The Cavs beat the Nets 111-102 in an NBA game played Thursday in Paris. It was partially to continue building the league's brand in France, but also to drum up support for basketball for the upcoming Olympic Games. There have been more NBA players from France than any other country outside of North America, including 2023 number one overall draft pick Victor Wembanyama of the San Antonio Spurs. Wembanyama, by the way, has said that he wants to be part of the French national team come July. In Paris, Donovan Mitchell of the Cavs said one of his goals was to be on that 2024 U.S. Olympic team. A new report says 84% of the construction related to the Paris Games has been complete with just 7 months to go. The mayor of Paris says he plans to swim in the Seine River ahead of the Games to prove it is safe. There have been concerns about health conditions in the river, which will be front and center for the opening ceremony as well as some of the sporting events. For the third time, Simone Biles was named Associated Press Female Athlete of the Year for 2023, beating out Caitlin Clark and Coco Gauff, among others. The CEO of USA Badminton, Linda French, has been suspended for 5 years for allegedly advising an employee not to report sexual abuse allegations against an influential figure in the sport, also retaliating against him when he did. The U.S. Center for Safe Sports said following an investigation, a preponderance of the evidence showed French committed 5 violations of Safe Sport Code, including 2 counts of failing to report child abuse or sexual abuse. USA Badminton's board chairman Ken Wong received a 2-year suspension for allegedly retaliating against a Safe Sport chief of staff. South African athlete Oscar Pistorius was released from prison on parole. Pistorius had served nearly 9 years of his 13-year and 5-month murder sentence for killing his girlfriend on Valentine's Day back in 2013. He was approved for parole back in November. The first USA shooting athletes, Ivan Rowe, Mary Tucker, Sagan Maddalena, Alexis Lagan, and Caitlin Abel have qualified for the Olympic Games in Paris 2024 after conclusions of the third air gun trial selections, which was in Alabama on January 7th. Well, in our first interview back from the holidays, we had a chance to speak with our friend, rhythmic gymnast Evita Grishkenis, who is again headed to her second Olympic Games. She tells us this time it will be a little different than last time.
You're my first interview of 2024. This is going to be a very exciting year and kind of interesting. I don't know if this is what you anticipated, but you have already qualified, correct?
I have, yes, via the nominative quota, which means that I guess the Olympic spot is tied to my name. And this differs from the last qualifications because the last qualifications was a country quota. So basically my teammate and I qualified 2 spots for Team USA. And then we had to wait all the way until the national championships, which because of COVID ended up going until 2021 instead of 2019 and or 2020. And so then they decided who was going to get that spot rather than it being tied to a name.
I would think that it would be nice to know that you're qualified this early. You know, it's kind of have that monkey off your back. Worrying about your next competitions, everything like that. Also know too, that you got to stay sharp, right? Like you can't just like chill out and watch Netflix, you know, until the Olympics comes. You got to stay really sharp. So tell me kind of your approach now that you've got the qualification. How do you go through these next 7 months?
I think in a strange way, kind of normally. I mean, we know what I've been working for in this last like interim period of time. So we're just going to keep working. And then right now we're in the stages of creating new routines. So I'll have 4 new performances to showcase. And of course, just building up stamina and quality and consistency with my coach.
Obviously, you got to stay healthy in the process, and that's going to be a big part of it as well. So the routines have not been built yet. So you guys are still kind of building this on the fly. You can't just use ones that you've used prior. You want to go brand new.
Well, yes and no. I mean, there's obviously when you create a new performance, there's skill sets and things that you use from your old routines, maybe even entire sequences. But generally speaking, in rhythmic gymnastics, we like to update our routines, change the music, change the choreography, I'd say every year. Sometimes people will keep 1 or 2 routines. We just decided to go with all 4 new ones for the Olympics.
And do you already have, and I assume you are you're bringing this, your coach is bringing forward ideas, you're bringing forward ideas. Do you guys collaborate, or is this something that you've already decided a certain direction you really want to go, and now it's up to you to kind of campaign for that?
Well, of course, it's a collaboration between my coach and I. We have selected the music, they're already cut. We've already, I mean, I'd say we've already drafted the routines, you know, have the skeleton going. It's going to get a little bit more full, a little bit more stable as the season progresses, of course. But yeah, we have our ideas.
How much of that, the preparation and the thinking about that, is based off of your experience at the previous Olympics? Was there something coming out of Tokyo that you're like, oh, next time I want to do this, or next time I want to have this kind of music?
Yes and no. I think I take each year as its own year. But also in rhythmic gymnastics, the rules change every 4 years. So the rules that we use in Tokyo are not the same rules as here. So obviously there's different quote strategies going into it based on what these set of rules are.
I talked to you before Tokyo, and that was your first Olympics, correct? And this is your second Olympics. Every time when I talk to an Olympian the first time around, very excited to be there, really want to showcase everything. Second time, laser focused. I know what I need to do. Do you feel like you're coming into Paris a lot different than you went into Tokyo? Just mindset. I mean, you're 4 years older. I mean, that's just reality. So you're probably, your strategy's different. Your thought process may be different.
Kind of only three, because we had, like, Tokyo was delayed. It was a 21 situation.
Right,
so
that's right.
I had time to mature there. But yeah, I'd say I'd agree with you. Like, a lot of people, their first Olympics, it's like the eager eyes, you know, and then the second Olympics, you have a little bit more of like, okay, I have, I think, a better understanding of what a games looks like, what the behind the scenes are, what the prep looks like. But of course, I'd say it's hard to compare. Well, I haven't obviously competed in Paris yet for the Olympics, but it's hard to say what the differences will be right now, because Tokyo is just so different. I mean, it was like the COVID year. Everyone had to, like, I'm sure this time when I walk off of that podium, right, in between routines, and like I go into the kiss and cry and I get all those emotions out, not only will there be a crowd watching me, which is, I think, the best part of my sport, right? Like, that emotional exchange. But also I won't have to like worry about putting a mask on my face before hugging my coach, because then I'd be breaking some kind of protocol. Sure. And then, I don't know, there's just so many extra steps in Tokyo, which, don't get me wrong, Tokyo was incredible. It was an amazing experience. But it'll just be a different Olympics, I think, this time around. So it's hard to say.
So maybe you will be able to enjoy yourself a little bit more than, because I know that there were certain restrictions. You had to get on the bus. You had to leave right after your performance. You couldn't linger around in the athlete's village. You could, you know, there were transportation. There were a lot of restrictions there. So I think this will be fun, and it's got to be exciting for you to have that real true Olympics experience, and not just the one experience of the COVID year, you know?
Right. And my family's coming this time around, which was the original plan for Tokyo, but you know, so it'll be very, I think, fuzzy, warm feeling on the inside to know that they're in the crowd.
So are you thinking about Paris, or is that too many steps ahead right now? Are you trying to stay as grounded and focused as you can?
Both. I guess I'm, you know, it comes in waves when you're like doing something, and then it crosses your mind. You're just like, oh, I'm going to Paris. And then, you know, just having moments where you're like, oh, I get to show my parents the village, right? Or, oh, I know exactly what this ending pose should be like. And I think it's just going to like absolutely like get the right emotion, like at the very end of my routine, you know, in Paris. But yeah, of course, you take every single day by day, step by step, because if you start looking too far in the future, it gets overwhelming, and then you start not doing what you need to be doing. And so it's a good mixture of excitement and dose of reality.
Have you been to Paris before?
I have. I've competed, I think, two or three times in France in general.
You know, one of the things that we saw in Tokyo, obviously, Simone Biles bowing out, you know, because of mental health, it really kind of brought it front and center. A lot of the athletes I've been speaking to actually have sports psychologists. Is that something that you've done in the past, or know anyone who's done that?
I'm sure there's plenty of athletes who go and speak with sports psychologists. I mean, sports in general is a very mental game, not just physical. And I mean, I'm studying psychology right now, and sports psychology is something near and dear to me anyway. So yeah, it's definitely a tool people use.
We were in a much different space with USA gymnastics going into Tokyo, you know, with everything that was going on. Did you feel like is USAG in a pretty good place right now? Is it improving as far as youth involvement and you know, kind of the way things are being monitored and the rules that have been put in place?
I'd say USA Gymnastics is doing a good job. We have our leader, Lili Luang. She is very inspiring. And I think that they're making good progress. And everything that they do is trying to be as athlete oriented as possible, making sure that our well-being is a priority.
You're 23 years old, correct?
Yes, I just turned 23.
It's kind of an interesting age because you're obviously competing at a very high level. Are you taking classes? Did you go to school? Are you waiting?
I'm a full-time student at Columbia University. I am a senior right now, so I've been taking full course loads. I started back in 2020. So it's funny because it's kind of like I started my academic journey with an Olympics. Now I'm ending it with an Olympics. I'm a psychology major, and I think I've just mentioned that I'm graduating in the spring, and it has been wonderful. Now, a part of that journey is that I go to school in New York, but I train in Chicago. So I have been flying a lot these past 3 years, pretty much weekly, bi-weekly, depending on where we are in the season, what I'm doing. It's been a lot of making it work.
Well, that's very exciting. So what is your plan once you get that degree?
Well, we'll see. I mean, I would certainly like to pursue a PhD in my future and something related to sports psychology or maybe even neuropsychology. I definitely tend to err more towards the neuroscience classes and studying the like brain behavior pathways. I very much like considering how our mind influences our behavior, so that doesn't air into the sports psychology world as you brought up earlier. And yeah, like to see where that goes.
So you've got quite a year then ahead of you with a graduation and then the Olympics.
It is a lot of cool stuff happening in a very short amount of time.
What did you take away from 2021? Have you gone back and reminisced at all on your performance, the experience you had? Is there anything that you learned there that maybe you're going to be applying this time around?
I'd say yes and no. One thing is, you know, keeping a very like sharp focus and sort of trying to keep that self-control. But also I think the years in between 2021 and now, especially this last year, have been a lot more significant in terms of, quote, character development and in terms of my journey as both an athlete and just a human being.
Do you feel as though you're coming into 2024 better prepared, more equipped to handle the Olympics than in 2021?
Again, I'm not one for making comparisons in terms of I'm better equipped or not, sure, because I think that in the time span when Tokyo happened, I was as equipped as I could have been, and I did the best job that I could have done at that point. And of course, the goal of every athlete is with every single competition, with every single act that you make, you improve. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you were underprepared last time.
I think the last time I talked to you, I said, who's the big dog? And you said Russia. You spelled it out, but you said Russia. This year, it's kind of the same deal with them where, you know, they're not going to be under a flag. And obviously there are questions as to whether some of the athletes will even participate because of the war. The IOC will have the final say in a lot of that. Has that impacted the sport at all in recent months? As far as where Russian athletes are competing and kind of the makeup of some of the competitions?
Well, we haven't seen any Russian or Belarusian athletes at the FIG competitions per, I'm guessing, policy and bylaws. Obviously, their style is missed, I think, on the carpet. They always brought this level of elegance. And then in terms of competitors, I'd say if you take a look at the medal stands, it's been a bit more diverse.
is rhythmic gymnastics, is it a growing sport right now? Is it in a pretty good place?
I'd say, yeah, I think it's increasing in growth in the United States. And I really genuinely hope part of my mission is to obviously bring more eyes to it and allow like little girls to see just how beautiful it is and to want to participate in it. Because I think any sport is really good and teaches you, I think, qualities that last a lifetime. And I always tell people like rhythmic has impacted me for life, whether I'm physically doing it or just existing in my normal everyday life. And I think rhythmic gymnastics specifically is such a good sport for developing discipline and honestly even learning some fun things like learning how to feel music, how to express your creativity, even kind of math, because you're trying to do like highest combination of points and like little like loopholes and trying to think of the smoothest connections. There's a lot of logic involved. So I'd say it helps make you a very well-rounded person. And yeah, I mean, I'd love to see a lot more like little girls join the sport.
Would you ever want to coach?
I'm not against it.
When you do allow yourself time to think about Paris 2024, are you thinking about competing? Are you thinking about some of the other stuff? Are you thinking about seeing some of the athletes? Where does your mind go?
My family.
Just being there with the family.
They're going to be there, making sure that they get the experience that they deserve. It's been a big motivating factor because they've been on this journey with me since I was 4, and everybody in my family has made a lot of sacrifices. You know, financial, physical, emotional, you name it. And I would just love for them to not just to enjoy it, but also to feel that like feeling of success with me.
We'll continue to track her progress leading up to the games. We're 195 days away from the opening ceremonies. We'll be back next week with another episode of Quest for Gold. I'm Ryan Burrow. We will see you then.